This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an amazing Friday and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. We're going to talk about how I would have felt when I was in the Marines getting deployed over there to L.A. Jury duty, someone wants to discuss it. Women, men, sports, college sports, the national debt, all that and so much more coming up this hour on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. So let's just dig into this one right here. Hey, Jesse. If you were still in the Corps, how would you feel about being sent to L.A.? Says this from an 85-year-old listener. So, I'm going to say something, and it's not going to sound great unless you can relate. And man, that was awesome. Did you guys hear that rhyme? What, Chris? Did you hear that? It's not going to sound great unless you can relate. That's good. I'm going to use that again. Anyway. So when you're in, I'll just make it about the Marines. When you're in the Marine Corps, and when you're specifically in the infantry in the Marine Corps, any kind of a real combat MOS, a combat job in the Marine Corps, which that's what I was, it was infantry. Your day-to-day life sucks. And I mean it in this way. It's not that it's horrid overall. It's that your day-to-day life is a grind, and it's always miserable. And it should be. I'm not complaining, by the way. It should be. It's not supposed to be sunshine and roses. You're in the infantry. They're trying to make you tough. They're trying to train you. So your whole life, every day, is sweating and misery. And you're out in the field. You're getting dirty. You're constantly hot. You're constantly tired. You're constantly getting screamed at, doing push-ups, constantly running to and fro, and then waiting. Hurry up and wait. This is your daily life. And this is how it has to be. Again, this is not a complaint. That's how it has to be. It's your daily life. And as you're going through this, you are getting tougher and better as you acquire more skills. You do shoot better. You are physically getting harder and harder and harder. You are becoming, the longer you spend, you're becoming that warrior, right? And, well, I'll put it to you this way. If you decided to go out for the football team, and you go out and you make the football team, and you go to two-a-days in the summertime, two practices a day, hot, miserable, you're running stairs, you're puking, weights over and over, practice over and over, yelling over and over. Don't you want to get in the game? At some point in time, if you're going to go through all of that, don't you want to play a game? That's the idea. You put in the work, you got yourself strong, you got yourself ready. When we were in, we wanted to go to war. It's not that we weren't afraid. There was always that fear there. No one wants to die or be maimed or be burned or something like that. There's always that fear there. But as young, naive men, and it is fairly naive to want to go to war, trust me on that. But as young, naive men, you spend all this time to go through all this misery, getting yourself hard and ready and hard and ready and hard and ready. You want to use those skills. I did the two-a-days. I've been in the weight room. I want to go out and play a football game now. If you had told us, we weren't even political, really. There wasn't really anybody that I can think of that doesn't stand out to me that was political, myself included. I know you're probably thinking, well, except for you. No, remember, I did not grow up political. I did not grow up in a political household. I have always been a huge history nerd, and I knew that we were Republicans just because that's the only thing my dad ever told me. I asked him one time whether we were Democrats or Republicans. I was a small child, and he looked at me in his lovely, soft way and said, "We're Republicans," and that was that. So I was not political when I was in the Marine Corps. None of us really were. If they had come to us one day and said, "Get your stuff packed, You know all those people rioting in L.A.? We're going to go smash some skulls. We would have been beside ourselves with excitement. Like I said, it was not even a political thing. If you told us that there were a bunch of people looting and burning in American City, that would have bothered us a great deal. And you told us that we now have to go there and fight them. Oh, gosh, we would have been unreasonably excited to do so. I know from the outside looking in that maybe sounds barbaric or makes us sound violent. Maybe it is barbaric. Maybe it is violent. I would have loved the opportunity to smash some commie rioters' face in. I would have absolutely loved the opportunity to do so. We ran into one in a... Well, you know what? I probably don't need to tell that story on the radio. Maybe that's another time, shall we? Let's move on. Hey, Jesse. So now the women are suing for equal pay in the NIL deals. He's talking about NCAA sports. Men's football and basketball bringing all the money. And so on. Well, listen. I would never give myself any credit for predicting this, but Chris... Corey, I don't even know if Corey was here yet when I said, what did I say was going to happen when college sports started allowing these athletes to sign endorsement deals? What did I say was going to happen? Chris? Yeah. Here's what I said. The women are going to sue, and it's going to blow everything up. In college sports, this is how it works. And I know because my wife was a college athlete and I got to know all the intricacies of the whole thing. Did you know that the vast majority, they only make money on the football program? All the other different sports, men's, women's, doesn't matter what it is, the football program is the one that brings revenue into the university. That's big schools, small schools, most of the universities. That's the case. There are some, these men's basketball meccas, you know, like a Duke or something like that, where the basketball team will also make money, but there aren't many of those. Beyond that, the sports are money losers for colleges. When you consider the facilities, when you consider these are essentially six-figure scholarships you're handing out for free, when you consider all these things, the lack of attendance, sports in college, outside of those examples I just gave, are money losers. Well, you decide to open up college sports, and now you can pay the players, you can get sponsorships for the players. I saw this coming a million miles away. I don't know why anyone else couldn't. Who's going to get the sponsorships? The starting quarterback, the starting power forward, the wide receiver, the defensive end? Because remember, you only would sponsor a player. You know, you don't get advertisers for funsies. You know, the people who advertise on this show, yes, they share our values. And yes, I'm friends with pretty much all of them, personal friends, but they're not advertising just because they love the show. You want a return on the investment. You expect, you demand, and you have every right to demand a return on your investment. If you're sponsoring a college athlete, you're not doing it for no reason at all. Either A, you are just a huge fan of your school and you're going to hemorrhage that money because it's nothing to you. Or B, the most common one is you expect the starting quarterback to advertise for your local chicken wing company because you expect his endorsement to bring in business and you want to sell more chicken wings. Who is showing up at your business for the softball player? I'll make it about Ob's sport, gymnastics. She was an elite gymnast, one of the best in the country. She didn't bring any money into the university. You could have driven through Tucson one day and actually seen her up on some little billboard flag type thing. She didn't bring a dime into that university. She, on an international scholarship, cost the University of Arizona money. And she'd tell you that to this day. when I had to go to the gymnastics meets, and when I got the awesome opportunity to go to the gymnastics meets, even the big ones against the rival school, nobody in the stands. Nobody's buying gymnastics merch. But when you combine the fact the other sports don't make money with the fact that today's young athletes, not all of them at all, there are a bunch of wonderful young athletes, but a lot of today's young athletes are really, really entitled little nasty brats. It was obvious to anyone with the brain that the women's basketball player was going to watch the starting quarterback get $1 million a year, and she was going to feel entitled to some of that cheddar herself. It was obvious. That's how it works. All right, let's move off of this and talk about the national debt. Before we do that, let's do this email. Hey, Jesse, instead of illegals, how about putting Elon's humanoid robots to work farming and making beds? Don't forget to stock up on anti-robot ammo. I am a Pure Talk customer for over a year, and they're great. Thanks for that, says his name is Brian. I love Pure Talk, man. I just love them. One, you're not sacrificing anything when you switch to Pure Talk. Remember, they're on the same 5G network, the same 5G towers. It's the same service. You pay way less because they don't have a retail store every 50 feet like all the other ones do out there. And right now, you can nominate a veteran, even yourself, to get a free allegiance flag from Pure Talk. American flags made in America. PureTalk.com/nominate is how you nominate somebody. And switch your cell phone service to the phone company that actually shares your values. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
I like it.
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, if you missed our Alexander the Great history thing from last night, you can download anything. All the podcasts are free. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Dear Hummer Lover, how much of our $37 trillion national debt do you think is from waste, fraud, and abuse and could have been avoided? Half? Most? All? If I had to put a number on that, I would tell you, well, pause for a second. What do we consider waste or fraud or abuse? And I ask it for this reason. I'm not trying to be cryptic here. If a president declares a war that really doesn't have an end goal to it, a war that maybe you consider unjustified or kind of pointless. If he declares a war like that, and the war on top of the lives and everything else costs $5 trillion, does that fall for you in the category of waste, fraud, and abuse? It does for me. And this is why I want to answer the question this way. We don't, because this is the only thing we've ever known as Americans, and I realize we have a bunch of foreigners listening too, but I'm just speaking as an American. We don't really realize and appreciate how wealthy we are. I don't either. How wealthy we are as a country. Over the top, ridiculously wealthy in ways that even other countries, modern civilized countries, can never even compare to. That they don't even relate to it. Remember I told you that time I went to Europe with the fam, took Ab and the boys. We went to Austria and the Czech Republic. Well, part of the appeal of leaving Houston in the summertime was we were going to get out of the heat. Let's get out of the heat, spend a week out of the heat. I'd never been to Europe. I'd always wanted to go nerd out on history. Let's get out of the heat. And lo and behold, the way it works sometimes, we show up in Europe and they are having the hottest summer they've, it was something like a record or one of the hottest they'd ever had. I don't want to be over the top with it, but it was baking. We're talking, for Europe, it was 94, 95 degrees roasting in Europe. So we get there and it's cooking. And everybody, all the tourists, it's all tourist spots. We're all walking around looking at stuff like that. It's all hot. You know the main thing restaurants were advertising as you walked up and down the street? Air conditioning. It is so rare there that the restaurants who had it knew they had a selling point that other restaurants could not match. All they had to do was put a sign out in front and said, "We have air conditioning here. Come on in and eat." Let me ask you something. As an American, have you ever one time in your life eaten in a restaurant in this country that did not have air conditioning in it? I'm sure I have a couple times, but that's something most people will never experience in this country. Air conditioning? Everybody has air conditioning. You have air conditioning in your apartment. Of course you do. If you have a small one-bedroom apartment, it's air conditioned, isn't it? If you work in an office building, we're in one right now, there's air conditioning. I'm doing my show. I think it's like 75 degrees in here. Your restaurants. I'm going to stop at a gas station on the way home. It will be air conditioned. So what I was getting to is we have an absurd amount of money in this country. $37 trillion in national debt is an unbelievable disgrace because it should be $0. With the amount of money we take in this country, with the amount of money we truly have, if we were run the right way, if we had done things the right way, we'd be sitting on a $30 trillion surplus. That's how ridiculous, that's how criminal it is that we are $37 trillion in debt. We are, as a country, as a people, those professional athletes we make fun of, the NBA player who makes $20 million a year and then goes bankrupt the second he retires because he was spending somehow more than he was taking in. We love to point at that guy. Ah, look at that stupid idiot. Wow, what an uneducated moron. How do you spend more than... That's us. That's the United States of America. We've done that. A country this wealthy should never be in debt, ever. Maybe you could make an exception for a large war, like a World War II. You can understand, hey, we have to put some economic things on hold. We have to overbuild planes and ships. And we have the maybe temporarily we should be spending more than we take in. But the amount of money this country takes in that we have not only not been able to stay underneath that amount, but that we have blown through it to the point where $37 trillion in debt is a disgrace. It's pathetic. I'll be honest, it embarrasses me. It embarrasses me. We are the young NBA player who makes $20 million and spends $30 million a year. We're the rapper who goes bankrupt, but he's got a diamond necklace worth $800,000. That's us here in the United States of America. Embarrassing what we have allowed to happen to the Treasury. That's how it goes. All right, move on. Do some other stuff. Before we do that, let me talk about this. We talk about getting your meat done right every time. It's not complicated. I always thought it was. Well, how do I do? What should I do? Should I press on it? It's really not complicated. You cook to temperature. That's how you get your meat done right. Whatever you're making, is chicken or steak or a big brisket or a pulled pork or what? You just cook to temperature. Once the temperature's right, you pull it off. It's right every time. That's where IQ Sense comes in. Greatest housewarming gift ever. Greatest gift to yourself ever. It is Father's Day in a couple days. Do you think Dad would enjoy a wireless cooking thermometer where his phone will tell him when the meat's done? Do you think that might be something he would enjoy? You think he'd enjoy getting 15% off? Go get one. These things are incredible. It's totally changed it. I'm a griller now. I'm a pit master, Chris. Go to chefiq.com, promo code Jesse, and that gets you 15% off. chefiq.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Friday, an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. And we're not discussing anymore this regime change stuff right now. I realize missiles are flying and threats are being tossed around. And it's probably going to be a wild weekend over there in the old Levant. So we're just going to sit here and answer some Ask Dr. Jesse questions. And I guess we'll sift through the carnage on Monday. Jesse, your history discussions and your comments the other night about whether we are still a nation prompt me to request or suggest that you discuss our founding as these United States versus being a country or a nation. You explain things well, and I would appreciate hearing your explanation of our progression from a group of sovereign states to whatever we are now. Thank you for your time and attention. Well, I'll just touch on this briefly. Remember that we were colonies at first. We were colonies. Everyone knows about the 13 colonies. We were colonies. And the colonies had their own governments. You know, human beings, whenever they live together, a city or a colony, a state, whatever, they're going to create a government. A government is a very human thing. You're always going to have some form of it. It could be a tribal chief or a king or a representative republic, but you're going to have a government of some kind. So the colonies had a government. But as they were chafing underneath the king, they were starting to figure out that a bunch of separate colonies can be smashed, can be crushed. But if there was some way to unify them, if there was some sort of uniting principle, then their collection, getting together, would be a strength. They would become stronger and possibly even strong enough to fight off the British crown. We did that. But then you really need to figure out, okay, how are we going to live together? Because New York, even back then, was different than South Carolina. Right? It's different, different regions. You're going to have different values in different regions. What are the unifying ideas? What are the unifying principles? And they had all kinds of debates about that back then, back and forth of how should the government be here? How should it be there? How should it function? All endless discussions. Eventually, we settled on what we obviously know, the Constitution, the federal government should be limited. The states really should govern themselves for the most part. But we are still one country. We have united the states. The states are united, so we're one country. But the federal government is a very, very small thing. The states should handle their own business. That's how we were founded. That's what they believed. That's what worked. And that's what would still work. Federalism. The idea that the states govern themselves, handle themselves. The federal government only does the things that are absolutely necessary for a federal government to do. Things like currency. You can't have South Carolina having a different currency than Montana. It doesn't work. You have to have one currency as a country. All right. So how did we get to where we are now? Well, on a macro level, we're human, and we're governed by other human beings. And people who achieve power very, very, very rarely try to just maintain it, and almost never do they try to reduce the amount of power they have. You know, no football coach takes over the football team and says, you know what? I really want less control over things. That's not how it works. You want more control. But governments operate the exact same way. And our federal government, over years, decades and decades and decades and decades, because it's occupied by flesh and blood human beings, was always trying to find a way to take more power than it was constitutionally allowed to have. Hey, we're the federal government. I want to be able to do this. I want to be able to do that. I want to be able to do this. You keep limiting my power, but I have things I want to do. So I need more and more and more of it. And how we got to this place is, honestly, money is a big part of it. When the federal government started handing out money, it started gaining control. That's really the huge problem we have as a country. It's the amount of money the federal government takes in and then hands out, giving them control over things. They have control over, well, the Department of Education. Department of Education hands out money. That money is power. They can withhold it. Hey, you go ahead and defy me. I'll hold back my money. Trump has done it. Democrats do it. Republicans do it. Everyone does it now because you have money. What you spend, what you pay for, you control. They've done it with Wall Street. The financial sector and the government, you can't even tell. There's not an inch of daylight between them now. They have completely merged with each other because the federal government has this, the federal government has that. Hey, go ahead and screw up at your bank. We'll come in and take it over and piecemeal that whole thing out. It's our bank now. These are ridiculous powers the federal government should have never had. The making war. I know this is a basic point, but you know that the president can't just declare war, right? That has to come from the Congress. We are not a country with a king where the president can just declare a war. But, I mean, all the way back to LBJ. I mean, shoot, you can argue the Korean War. You could. Presidents have just asserted their authority. They didn't like that limiting power. No, I'm the president. I think we should. So they tried. Look, back to Woodrow Wilson. Woodrow Wilson, because he was a worthless piece of tyrannical trash, Woodrow Wilson thought he was above other people. He felt like he was a king. Woodrow Wilson wanted us in World War I so badly, so badly. FDR wanted us in World War II so badly. And the public opinion polls were always against them. The public was dead set against getting involved in these wars. Until Pearl Harbor, no one wanted to be involved in World War II. Until, you know, the Lusitania and the Zimmerman telegram and things like that, no one wanted to be involved in World War I. Nobody did. But Woodrow Wilson and FDR, again, saw themselves as kings, and they despised the fact that they had to go along with the American public, that they had to wait for Congress to declare war. They hated that. And look, you can hate those guys, and I don't care for either of them, but it's human nature. Hey, lady fingers. It's not nice. I'm listening to your rant about OBS serving on jury duty. Whatever sort of case it is, it's probably not near as heavy as what my elderly mom was had to endure in sending a pedophile to jail as a member of a jury here in Alabama.
It is as heavy as 10 boxes that you might be moving.
While I do agree it's your civic duty, I would caution people beforehand because you might be on a case like a pedo and you have to look at all these disgusting evidence items. I could never process this. It would scar me for life just looking at that garbage. What are your thoughts, bald philosopher? I love your show, but I'm contentious on this topic. I think guarding your... What did they say today? What do these fruities say today? Your mental health. I think guarding your mental health is appropriate at times, of course. Of course. At the same time, who's going to sit on the jury? And how much do you think you should shield yourself from the ugly realities of life? You know, when we're out traveling or doing something with our kids and we encounter bad neighborhoods or you know, some sad homeless person drugged out or something like that, we don't run across the street or tell our children to cover up their eyes. Look, see, understand that there's a different side of the of life that you know. There's an ugly side out there, and I don't necessarily think that's unhealthy. It may be painful, but I don't necessarily think that's unhealthy. That makes sense? All right. Rough greens makes sense. It just makes sense that giving your dog nutrition would have them live longer. Everyone knows what I'm saying. It's true. American dogs die at 10. Did you know? Get this. You want to hear a bonker stat? Dogs that live past 10... 50% of them die from cancer. Isn't that amazing? Awful. I lost my dog, Hank, to cancer. It's amazing. Rough Greens will introduce real nutrition to your dog for the first time because dog food is dead. That's why it's brown. Rough Greens is alive. You don't have to change your dog's food. You sprinkle Rough Greens on the food. Vitamins and minerals and digestive enzymes and probiotics. Your dog's breath will get better. His coat will be shinier. All the things that happen to you when you get real nutrition. Keep your dog around longer. Go to roughgreens.com/Jesse and get a free jumpstart trial bag. Or call 833-33-MY-DOG. We'll be back.
Is he smarter than everyone?
Who knows?
Does he think so? Yeah. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Friday. Reminding you, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Your love, your hate, your death threats, all are welcome. Let's start chopping away at some more of these, shall we? Jesse, can you tell us another story about your experience in the Marines? Did you ever have to work closely with other branches of the military other than Navy corpsmen? Thanks to you and your crew. So I told this story a long time ago. I'll give you one. I'll give you two, actually. Because do you ever get the feeling that God smiles on you? You don't deserve it, but you end up catching breaks in life that are inexplicable. I'll give you two of them. First, I told you about the time I got Giardia, that parasite in mountain warfare training. And then I almost died when we were training. It was 120 degrees. I was so dehydrated. I was unbelievably sick. They had to rush me to the hospital, and I took down like 3 IVs. I was in bad shape. Well, I'm symptom-free after this. For a couple weeks, symptom-free. They gave me a bunch of pills, symptom-free. Our unit, our battalion, was getting ready to go out for one of these brutal 5-day field ops in the desert, and it's going to be brutal. It's going to be brutal. The day they're supposed to leave, I get called down to the office. This is always bad, universally bad. You're in trouble when you get called down to the office. So I think I'm in trouble. I take off to go down to the company command, the company office, okay? I see one of my corporals, one of my NCOs. He passes me on the way back, and he's just glaring at me, won't say anything to me. Now I really don't know what I did wrong. So I don't know what I did wrong, but clearly something. I show up. I find out that they finally got my test results back and that I have Giardia, a parasite. And they're telling me this like with a heavy, like I'm going to be sad. They're like, hey, this is very contagious, so you're not going to be able to go to the field with us. In fact, it's so contagious that we have to quarantine you and your roommate. He was my best friend. We have to quarantine you and your roommate in case he has it too. You guys need to stay in your rooms. You won't be going with us. For 5 days, my unit went out to the desert and lived in complete misery. We weren't even allowed to go to the chow hall, so we ordered Domino's pizza almost every single day. It was the only pizza place on base on 29 Palms. And we played video games and ate pizza like a bunch of college freshmen for 5 days while everyone else was suffering. Like these are the kind of things that always happen to me. So I'll give you a working with the other branches story that, again, it goes right along the lines with what we're talking about here. We go to Iraq. I'm in 1st Battalion, 7th Marines, Alpha Company, Weapons Platoon. We go to Iraq. Well, we go to Kuwait. We stage in Kuwait. This is before Bush declares war. Finally, he declares war. We take off. We head into Iraq. We fight our way. We get all the way up to Baghdad. Okay, so we move all the way up through Iraq. We get to Baghdad. We get into Baghdad. There are no facilities at the time because, again, this is the beginning of all of it. There aren't bases. There's nothing. There's nothing there. We're sleeping in holes in the ground. We dig. There's no facilities, and there's no bathing for 2 or 3 weeks. There's no shower. There's no bath. Oh, and by the way, it's hot. We've been wearing our mop gear for lots of the time. That's your don't die from gas gear. That's what it is. So what, Chris? What? Chris said, how do you prevent the chafing and stuff? You don't. The only thing you can do as you are living in sweat and dirt and you stink, like you can smell yourself, that kind of a stink. The only thing you can do is you get baby wipes and attempt to wipe sensitive areas down as best you can to make sure you don't get sick. You have to maintain some sort of hygiene, or else disease is going to spread. So this is your life: sweat, dirt, misery, and there is no bathing. Have you ever gone 2 days, 3 days without bathing? Most people have for one reason or another. Maybe you're camping or whatever it may be. How do you feel? Yeah. Greasy, slimy, dirty. You can rub your skin and it's nasty, right? Now picture 2 or 3 weeks in the desert with all this. By the time we get to Baghdad, we are disgusting. We feel disgusting. And everyone's dying for a bath. So we get to Baghdad, and they take my unit, and we go to a place. I believe it's still there. You can probably look it up. Called the I think it was called the Martyr Monument or Martyr Monument Park, something like that. It has what looks like a gigantic blue water drop in it. So if you look it up, that's where we were. Okay, if it's still there, if they haven't blown it up or something like that. That's where they took my unit. Hey, this is where you're going to stage. Go secure this area. At the time, again, I don't want to tell you that's still the case because this is 20 years ago. At the time, there was a big pond in there. I can't even describe how badly we wanted to grab a bar of soap and go dive into this water to clean ourselves. We are nasty for whatever reason. Maybe it was security. Maybe they had tested the water. It was disease. Maybe they were just being mean. I don't know. You don't know a lot of things when you're in war. They wouldn't let us get in it. So not only are we nasty, we can't get in the water. Now, we are, I was in a mortar section. I was an 0341 mortarman. We really didn't hardly, we'd never used our mortars in Iraq. We were just basic infantrymen. We had to carry them around. We had to set them up on occasion, but mortars are not great in an urban environment for obvious reasons. You hit buildings and things like that with it. It's hard to lob things. We weren't in a mortar-friendly environment. So we just became basic infantrymen walking around just like all the other 0311s, which we were all trained for that anyway. It was fine. It was no big deal. We were basic infantrymen. Now, remember I told you we're nasty. And remember, we haven't slept in anything resembling a bed or even a cot or anything like that in weeks. We get called down to the company commander's office, and he gives us some of the best, coolest news ever. I'll finish this in a second. Hang on.